today on Real Radio.
Government was given to us by the Lord, but man delights in pushing God away from the things he creates, commandeering it, and making it his own. And the moment man gets his hands on the wheel, you can expect a crash. It's just the way we are.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Government God's Way, Part 1, continues in his new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. The Old Testament book of Isaiah records the powerful ministry of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah's calling as a prophet was primarily to the nation of Judah and the city of Jerusalem. Isaiah urged the people to repent from their sins and return to God. He also foretold the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, and also what will happen in the last days. In parts 1 and 2 of The Argument of God, we saw how the beginning of Isaiah's ministry began with a vision, challenging the people to look at what's happened to their lives. Isaiah tells the people of Judah and Israel to listen, to turn from their rebellion, and to worship God alone. They had lost their passion towards God, and God wanted their hearts, not just their religious sacrifices. So he tells Isaiah to warn the people of the coming disaster from their enemies if they choose not to listen. Now here in chapter 2 of Isaiah, we see how God's form of government is very different from man's form of government. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that once again, God visits Isaiah. But this time, it's about the coming of God's government. The Lord starts by showing Isaiah how man's form of government will completely fail, and then shares with Isaiah the coming tribulation period, and finally, God reveals the second coming of the physical return of Jesus Christ, who will then establish his form of government on the earth. And now, in his lesson called Government God's Way, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I tell you what, we're going to get into chapter 2 tonight. It is so awesome and so intense. Just pray for me that I can deliver in a coherent way what needs to be delivered, because I'm telling you, Isaiah chapter 2 is a mind blower. And again, Father, we pray that you'd make sense of this message, because it's so exciting. I kind of lost control myself looking at the glory of it, God. And Father, we pray tonight for those of us who know you, God, that we would just hardly be able to contain ourselves. And Father, for those here or those watching right now that don't know you, Lord, I pray that they would just become really, really kind of unhinged on the inside. That they would, Lord, decide tonight, that's it. I'm going to know Jesus tonight. So, Father, we pray that you'd move powerfully. We have your word. We're going to go through a lot of verses from your Bible. And, God, we pray that as we've gathered in your name, that you would feel more than welcome here right now. We ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Well, grab your Bibles tonight and turn to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2 tonight, and we are looking at a message now this evening entitled, Government, God's Way. Isaiah chapter 2, what an amazing chapter it is. Government, God's Way. What comes to your mind when you think of such things as government or politics or presidents or kings or authority? As it's election season, and in a few days you're going to be voting. What comes to your mind when you hear such things? For me, living where we live, we still have the best system in the world, but even though as it is, it's flawed and imperfect, because why? It's man's government. But government has been invented by God. Government was given to us by the Lord, but man delights in pushing God away from the things he creates, commandeering it, and making it his own. And the moment man gets his hands on the wheel, you can expect a crash. It's just the way we are. And so when you think of those buzzwords that get people going, government, politics, authority, presidents, and kings, gets people riled up. But the reason why it does is because of so many abuses. But listen, it's not always going to be that way, because the Bible makes it very clear that the Lord is coming back someday to establish his government. And that's an exciting thing. I want you to keep this in mind as we look to tonight's study. The Bible tells us when Abraham was very puzzled about what God was going to do. If you remember there, the Bible tells us in Genesis 18 that the Lord shows up. Now, get this. He physically shows up. Of course, we know from theology it's called a Christophanies or a Theophanies. It is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate, showing up in Genesis 18 with two angels speaking to who? Abraham, telling him about what's going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah for their perversion and their sexual life that was going on in Sodom. Thus, Sodom is named after Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord says, that's it. The sin, their sin has reached a point and I'm going to destroy it. I brought these two angels. They're going to consume the places. And Abraham said, wait a minute. What if there's, and he goes through this list. What if there's 50 righteous? Will you destroy the city? No, I won't if there's 50. What about 40? No, I won't destroy the city if there's 40 believers. And what about 30? What about, and he just, Abraham's going through this gyration. It's kind of cute, actually. Gets the Lord all the way down to 10. Will you destroy the city for 10? If there's 10 good people, will your wrath, remember this in your note-taking tonight, will you bring your wrath down from heaven against a godless society if there's 10 believers? And he says, I won't do it if there's 10 believers. Wow. Genesis 18, 25. Listen to what Abraham defaults to, and it's good for us tonight to remember. Far be it from you, Lord. In other words, it's not your nature, God, to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Abraham knew this about the Lord, that in judgment, God does right. In judgment, God does the right thing. So now, chapter 2 of Isaiah, we move out of the indictment of chapter 1. You got that down the last few weeks where God was saying, Judah, remember, the nation of Israel, but it's divided. You got two kings, or you've got two tribes, I should say, in the south, Judah and Benjamin. You've got the remaining 10 tribes in the north, Israel, Judah in the south, Israel to the north. But when God speaks, often he speaks here, especially as he speaks to Judah, he's talking about the nation at large. But he says to them, he's announcing to them that all of these sins, he has all of these indictments against them. And you've looked at these last 2 weeks. Now Isaiah goes, watch this, from chapter 1, he gets up and goes about his business. He's living life like you and I do. And then God visits him again with another revelation or another word. And thus his ministry continues. But this time, watch this, church. In your notes, margins of your Bible, write it down. There is about a 2,800-year, we assume now, 2,800-year time gap from the proclamation of chapter 1 to what you're going to hear in chapter 2. What do I mean? He indicts them about their present sin, chapter 1. Then Isaiah looks way out into the future for the nation of Israel and speaks to them about the coming government of God. And it is awesome. Chapter 2, verse 1, follow with me, government God's way. He says, the word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Circle those two names, Judah and Jerusalem. This is very specific. Verse 2, now it shall come to pass, mark it, in the latter days. Bible students, mark it down. Whenever you see these terms or these three words, the latter days, the Bible in the Old Testament is telling you that this is the last time of man's age before God returns. In other words, the last days, the last times, or the end of days. is the time that you and I know so conveniently as the tribulation period. So mark that down in your notes and you'll understand where we're going much better. So now it shall come to pass in the latter days, the last days. So 2,007, 2,800 years from Isaiah's day, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. This is an awesome statement because Isaiah is telling the people that the mountain of the Lord, they knew what that was. That was Zion. The Jews today know and understand that for 5,000 years, the mountain of the Lord, Zion, is God's place. The Jews believe that when God spoke the physical universe into existence, that when he did it, the first thing formed physically, earthwise, was beneath the Lord's feet, and that he would then been standing on the Temple Mount or Mount Zion. Imagine that, because how fun is it? When he spoke, the physical universe came into existence, right? Where did it first appear? The Jews will say, they can't prove it, but I like it. The Jews will say, right underneath his feet. The whole globe formed, they believe, by the way, I do too, the center of the entire universe, the center of the world is not only Zion, the Temple Mount, but I believe the center of the universe is Jerusalem from God's perspective. He says, it's my city, it's where I put my name. It's where Jesus Christ was not only crucified, the Bible says it's where Jesus Christ returns to. Not only that, but the Bible says Jerusalem's going to be the place where Jesus sits on the throne of David for 1,000 years. So, man, that's a big deal, especially a city that has no river, no airport, no oil, no gold, no diamonds, no nothing. And God says, I love that place. Isn't that amazing? He says here that the house, the Lord, the mountain of the Lord's house, dwelling place, shall be established. Now that's amazing because Isaiah and the people could have looked at the temple and realized from this prophecy, that ain't it. Isn't that a shocker? Think of it for a moment. This is all about God's government. It's not about the temple of Solomon's there in Jerusalem. That's not the answer. See, the Jews up until Jesus' day, remember, when they said, when Jesus said, all these stones are going to come tumbling down. Not one stone's going to be left upon another. They freaked out thinking, wait a minute. How can this be? The temple is God's place. No, it's not. No, it's not. Listen, the temple came down in 70 AD. Did God cease to exist? Or was God suddenly homeless? No. There will be a coming government of God that he will establish. And when that happens, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established way out from Isaiah's day, certainly beyond our day now, in the tops of the mountains, that and shall be exalted above the hills. And watch this, all nations shall flow into it. So the latter days, this is referring to, listen, this is referring, verses 1 and 2, to the end of the tribulation period and the second coming of Jesus Christ. Write that down in your notes. Not the rapture, forget about that. The second coming, the physical return of Jesus Christ. This is an amazing prophecy. Let me paraphrase it for you. Maybe the Lord would speak to it to us this way from verses 1 and 2. In the last days, I will be focusing on the southern part of my nation, mainly Jerusalem. And at the time of the end, man's attempt to govern himself will completely fail. That's when I will return to implement my government on earth as I have intended it to be. That's what's going to happen when Jesus comes back in the second coming. So remember that. The latter days refer to the end of days, the last of days, and Jesus Christ, the Jesus Christ of the Bible, the Jesus Christ of Nazareth, church students, Bible prophecy, scholars, listen up, Jesus Christ, the Jesus, according to the Bible, of Nazareth, the Jesus you know must physically return to Jerusalem to establish verses 1 and 2, or we are not worshiping the right Jesus tonight. That's how serious this prophecy is. Isaiah chapter 62, jot it down in your margins if you would, verse 1. Now remember, the context is the coming of the Lord in the second coming to establish his government. Isaiah 62, verse 1. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until her righteousness goes forth as brightness and her salvation as a lamp that burns. This is a promise of the Messiah at the end of the tribulation period and his second coming. When Christ returns in his great second coming, it will not be a secret. It will not be in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. The Bible says, every eye that's on earth, every eye shall see him when he returns, which leads us to believe that Christ in his return in the second coming will somehow either orbit the earth in his glory, can you imagine? And then set his foot upon the Mount of Olives and then upon Jerusalem, that somehow all the earth dwellers will see his glorious return. That is going to be awesome. By the way, in his comet-like tale of glory in his coming, the Bible says in Revelation 19 that every Christian, every believer that had been raptured up out of this nutcase world will be riding on horses with him in his glory in the second coming. I told you before, I don't like horses, but apparently my mind will be changed when that happens. I don't like animals that are smarter than me. Scary. But this is a reference to the coming of the Messiah. And note this, Bible student, the Messiah of the world is the Messiah of Israel, the Christ, that is Jesus, and he must come to the throne of David. But we're going to look a little bit about his second coming. This is fun stuff. And you're going to hear me make, I think, throughout the evening, some clear distinctions between the secrecy of the rapture versus the blatant global second coming of Christ. Isaiah 63, verse 1. Who is this coming from Edom, from Bozra, with his garments stained in crimson or red? Who is this robed in splendor? Listen to the prophecy. Striding forward in the greatness of his strength. Watch this. He answers. It is I speaking in righteousness, mighty to save. What an awesome moment. Isaiah 63 is speaking about the second coming of Christ, the Messiah to Israel. Bozra, mark it down. Circle that word. Who's this coming from Edom? That's east of Israel, southeast of Israel. Who's this coming from Bozra? That's southeast of Israel still. Bozra is an amazing statement. The very root word means in the feminine gender. That's how it appears. That's how it appears in the Hebrew language in the feminine version, and it means the enclosure or the sheepfold. This is key, people. Write this down. Who's this coming from the sheep pen? Bozra. Where is it? In the land of Edom. Why is that important? Because the Bible says that at the midpoint of the tribulation period, both Daniel speaks about this and the book of Revelation speaks about this, that, church, how long is the seven-year tribulation period? I gave you the big clue. You couldn't have failed. Halfway through the seven-year tribulation period is 3.5 years. The Bible says at the 3.5-year point, the Antichrist will stand in the temple and declare himself to be God during that seven-year period. He'll do it 3.5 years into that period. That's when the Jews, the Bible says, realizes we've got the wrong guy after all, the Antichrist. Yikes, let's run. Jesus, the Bible tells us that in Matthew 24, Luke 21, and Mark 13, that when the Jews see this, they're going to come down from their housetops and run to the wilderness. The book of Revelation tells us that God will make a way for them to flee in the wilderness, and they will go to ancient Selah, S-E-L-A, S-E-L-A in your Old Testament. It turns out to be a place called Petra in Edom today, and Bozra is near that location today. A remnant will be protected there in the second coming. Or I should say, either during the second coming or moments or days before the second coming, the Lord comes out of his place, heaven, says the Bible, and he will fight for Israel as he fought in the day of battle. Do you ever read that in your Bible? It's like, wow, really? You ever picture Jesus like that? Dude, isn't that amazing? When he comes back, he's not going to look like the surfer Jesus down in Newport, walking down the beach. He's, you know, he's got a cool robe, his hair's in the wind, and he's carrying a little lamb, and he's like, peace sign. The second coming, his eyes are like a flame of fire, it says. It says his face is so bright that the sun will flee from his presence. And the Bible says in the second coming, all those who dwell on the face of the earth will be terrified and they will cry out, hide us from the wrath of the Lamb. You ever seen an angry lamb? You'll never see an angry lamb on earth. But the Lamb of God is coming in anger. Pure, holy, white hot anger. Why? Because it's a Christ rejecting world. And he's coming to defend his nation Israel, says the Bible. You look at all that's going on in the news today and all the stuff against Israel. And tonight, how tragic. We find out tonight that our administration insulted Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu by calling him a chicken blank. And many are demanding that our administration apologize for that statement. Listen, God's going to deal with that stuff. Because you don't mess around with Israel.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Government God's Way, Part 1. Thanks for listening, and don't let the opportunity of accepting Christ as your personal Savior pass you by. Give your life to Him right now because you may not get another chance. Government God's Way, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, and the foretelling of the coming of the Messiah, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. When the Apostle Paul left Jerusalem and traveled to other parts of the world, he found cultures that were practicing idolatry, fortune-telling, and witchcraft. They were also engaging in lusts of the flesh as well as greed and self-promotion. It was happening then as it is happening now. So what's going to happen in the future? There's so much confusion of what the Bible says about the future. The lack of knowledge of biblical prophecy, widespread. That's why Pastor Jack continues to examine God's prophetic word. It's a series called Happening Now. Now, if you've missed the most recent episode that was featured on Facebook Live, or you'd like to catch up on some previous ones, you can watch Happening Now on Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. That's at YouTube, Real Life with Jack Hibbs. One more time, the series is called Happening Now, and Part 10, as well as the previous episodes, is on Pastor Jack's YouTube channel called Real Life with Jack Hibbs. Have you had a chance to check out Pastor Jack's YouTube channel yet? It's called Real Life with Jack Hibbs, and there are literally hundreds of videos to choose from, along with a variety of topics that are available. But what I'd like to draw your attention to at this moment is a specific series called Engage the Culture. Each episode starts with a sort of what does the Bible say about, and then a specific topic will be explored, such as what does the Bible say about marijuana and drug use, or what does the Bible say about socialism? Other cultural topics include feminism, transgenderism, racism, as well as what does the Bible say about gun control, border control, and abortion. Again, a lot of topics to choose from, lots of questions will be answered, and a whole lot of information on how to share salvation through Jesus Christ in a world that has a lot of very different cultural and spiritual views on life. And don't forget to hit that notification tab for all the latest videos that Pastor Jack wants to share with you. And if you've got any questions for us, or maybe you'd like to know more about what Pastor Jack has to offer, you can also head over to our website that's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.